Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
It's 3:03 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker. You heard from Dan McLaughlin on FS Midwest. You heard from the Cardinals skipper, Mike Shilton. You heard from Miles Michaelis, who said, I don't know why anybody would hit it to the right side of the infield. I know.
Why?
Because that's the only thing they can do. Like, even if four people are on the other side of the infield, they can't hit it to the left side.
Why'd you have to turn a good thing into a jerk thing? Why'd you have to do that? We just started this. It was all great things.
He said he didn't know, and I was trying to provide a little insight, knowledge.
We're not talking about one guy. We're talking about the Pirates.
Miles Michaelis.
Why they would do it.
The 17th shutout in Major League Baseball, complete game shutout in Major League Baseball this year.
He missed a Maddux by a pitch.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah,
we'll take 100 pitches. That's totally fine. 73 of which were strikes. And man, that was fun to see that Miles Michaelis, because that guy has kind of been missing. We've seen innings where it's like, oh, all right, he's back. And we've seen some games where it looks like, all right, well, that's going to be a good building block. Obviously, when you throw a shutout, it's going to be as good of a game as you've had all year, but he looked different. He talked about it, too. He went in the offseason, or not the offseason, but the All-Star break, and he looked at video. He found some mechanical fixes. He was falling towards the first base side a little bit more than he's used to. He stayed in control. He stayed on target, and he dealt. It was great. I mean, everything that all his pitches had the action that he wanted. He was in command. Certainly, the defense helped.
How did he get, from a pitcher's perspective, watching him and having command of the slider and everything else, how did he get to that point?
Direction. So, and he talked about it. It is that you have a tendency sometimes, and especially when you're trying to do a little bit too much as a right-handed pitcher, falling off to the first base side. So you're pulling with your front side and you're just trying to make some stuff happen. He didn't do that last night. Last night, he kept his head on his target the entire way. He had all of his way. There are a couple of simple things that I teach kids oftentimes when I'm teaching just pitching. One is, head to your target. It is amazing. It is amazing that the ball goes pretty much where you want it to go when your head remains on it the whole time. Like, that is one of the things. And another one, it's basically the same way to say the same thing. I ask a kid, how much do you weigh? And he'll give me an answer, whatever it is. Meat, how much do you weigh?
240.
That's big kid.
Okay.
It's a big kid.
Mm-hmm.
How many of that 240 pounds do you think Meat wants going towards the target?
240.
240. All them pounds. Don't waste 15 pounds over on the first base side. That's what we saw out of Miles Michaelis last night. It was the direction. And when he has that direction, you're going downhill and you're going right at your target. It gets your arm up in a really good position to be able to execute.
I am so appreciative. And I mentioned yesterday, I believe that the Cardinals are absolutely maximizing, and Dexter Fowler is maximizing himself this season. And last night was another example. The last 2 days, made a great play in center field 2 days ago, great play in right field last night for the double play. And I don't think any of us would have expected what Dexter Fowler is delivering to the Cardinals. I think he's giving them his all this season.
Yeah, I think he's happy and he's motivated and he's hungry and he wants to prove that he's not the guy that he was last year. And I don't believe that anybody thought it was going to be as bad last year, bad this year as it was last year. I think that anybody would look at the back of his baseball card, just look at him and say, it's got to be better than that. But you're right. I didn't expect this much out of Dexter, and I love it because, look, currently with the contract that Dexter has, if he's a part of this team, he's playing. He's going to get his reps. He's going to be out there, and he's not playing like that. He's not playing like a guy that's like, who cares? I'm paid. No, he's playing motivated, and he wants to do better. And you don't get to the level that Dex is at by just mailing it in. He had issues last year. He was hurt. He was beat up mentally. He's bounced back really well.
At 33 years old, this is probably at this point of his career the most, like Randy said, the most he can give you. And he is right at his career norm. His his career OBP, or excuse me, OPS, is 780. He's at 781 right now. So he is pretty much right exactly at what he typically does. And I think the Cardinals were hopeful when they got him that he would give a 800-plus OPS, which he did in the first season. But that's not really what he is, and he never has been that. He's had a couple of seasons where he's done something like that, but by and large throughout his career, where he is right now is about what he's typically given teams, and so I don't think you can expect more from him.
And Tyler O'Neill with the two home runs. I love seeing a guy hit home runs like that where he doesn't even have to take the full follow through, and it just goes.
Isn't it like the follow through? I'm not talking about him as a player. It's like Big Mac, really.
Yeah, it
is. Like where he just hits it and just like barely the high finish. Gone. Yeah. Yahtzee, got him. They need him. They need a lot of guys to step up right now. Your best offensive player in Marcelo Ozuna, who knows when he's going to be back? Hopefully it's before the trade deadline, but who knows? You need somebody to step up in instead. Goldschmidt is starting to look better and better and looking like he's going to end up being that guy. But with Ozuna out, who steps up? Right now, Tyler O'Neill is stepping up, and he's stepping up in a big way. It was a monster series for him over the weekend, and then he does it again last night with the two home runs. That is fun to watch somebody do that.
Yeah, the truth is, for this Cardinals team for the rest of the year, it's probably going to take that. And it sounds like a sports cliche, and it kind of is, but it may not be any truer for other teams than it is for this one, that you're going to have multiple contributions from multiple people.
Right.
So while O'Neill is up, he's going to have to do the job. Same thing for Edmund. While he's here, he's going to have to contribute because they don't have that stacked lineup 1 through 8 that you know every night they're going to be perfectly fine and they're going to easily put up 5, 6, 7 runs a game. What they did last night is better than what they usually do, and part of that is because they're getting contributions from the players they didn't expect to get contributions from when the season started. That has to continue to stay in this race.
The Cardinals lost Matt Carpenter last night to a foul ball off of his foot, and he's not in the lineup tonight. So we'll keep an eye this afternoon on what the Cardinals have to say about Marp, who, as you know, missed time before the All-Star break with the back, and now That was a nasty injury off of a nasty foul ball off of his foot.
You knew it was bad when he came out of the game. We see almost on a nightly basis.
Pretty much right away.
He gets the head out and he slams one off his leg and he'll walk around for a little bit and he'll tough it out and be good to go. This one he knew right off the bat that that wasn't going to be the case. So the hope is that it's nothing bad that's going to hinder him for a while. But it looked bad. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just him trying to get started early or the way that he's getting pitched, but I don't think I've ever seen somebody slam as many baseballs off themselves as I've seen Matt Carpenter do this year.
I don't know if I've seen it either.
It's crazy.
You
got to get him full leg protectors.
Yeah. And Tommy Edman starting at third tonight. One other thing about last night, BT, is Adam Wainwright, after giving 7 shutout innings on Sunday, came in and said, "Who's got better than 7? And then Michaelis gives 9. I love inner staff competition.
Look at the last turnaround, the rotation. It has been really good. And coming into the season, we knew that the starters were going to have to do big things for you. Certainly, we expected more out of the offense. Hopefully, we're starting to get some of that. But the starters need to be great. And right now, they are. Jack Flaherty is on the bump tonight. I hope that he's able to build on that last one he had against San Francisco, because that was a great outing by him. And keep building on that. Keep having the competition. The bar's been set pretty damn high by Miles Michaelis now.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, what do you got? Let's see it. I'm looking forward to it.
There's a texter here from the 636 that says, "BT, when you pitched in the majors, why did you always look up in the zone so hitters could hit a home run off you?"
I saw that one too.
It seems like a legit question.
It is a good question.
Do you have an answer?
I will say that those would be called mistakes. I did set my sights down in the zone. Maybe I was a little bit early on the trend of missing up. Maybe you get some swings and misses through there now with that launch angle and stuff. But no, that was not my intention. I just made a lot of mistakes.
Tonight, Flaherty will be opposed by Dario Agrazal, who's 6'2 and 240. and from Panama. I think we can make the argument here that he's a Panamanian strongman.
I mean, I haven't seen him lift, but probably.
Randy.
He's a big fella.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
But you're smiling like you're about to laugh.
Because I can't believe you.
St. Louis and Charles Jaco got a watch from Panamanian strongman Manuel Noriega's mansion.
That's
when Charles was working for CNN.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so lost right now.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
There used to be a bad guy in Panama named Manuel Noriega.
He
was deposed.
Oh, Noriega's fine.
He died a couple of years ago.
Did he die? Dead or alive?
We'll Manuel?
Dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Okay.
83. He was 83.
Don't get into drugs. Bad idea.
Very bad.
Yeah.
Unless it makes you a ton of money.
Still
drugs
not good, though.
No.
Is bad.
Drugs is bad.
What I've seen Breaking Bad, man. I saw like that whole locker full of money.
Yeah.
Just and stacked actually, up from the floor.
In total fairness, again, and in Ozark as well. I mean, they had the whole house full of money.
It's all in the walls?
Yeah, it's a ton of cash. But it doesn't seem like a life that you can relax in at all. Like, how do you slang that much product and be able to sleep at night? I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't think it's worth the trade. Text in 65780 if you know.
But you never have to worry about paying bills.
Yeah, but you do. You can't pay straight cash for everything, and then you have to prove how you got all this money. I mean, laundering, it seems. 65780, again, if you launder money, I would love to know how that works. It seems really difficult.
Yep, very good question.
They say you have to buy strip clubs, I guess.
Oh, there you go.
A lot of cash there.
Coming up next in the Fast Lane, with the trade deadline approaching, what contracts are helping and what contracts are hurting the St. Louis Cardinals? We'll break that down next on 101 ESPN. Well, the Cardinals have the sixth highest payroll in all of baseball, and not all of the contracts are particularly working out for this team. Clearly, I think we can all agree, for example, that the contract that the Cardinals gave Brett Cecil is not working out for them so far in 2019.
Why not?
Did you have to have a pause there? were you going to wait for
thinking about a little bit?
One of us were going to chime in. No, it didn't. Yet again, and I feel like this one has to be revisited at times when we talk about the Brett Cecil contract. I don't recall everybody being pissed off about it at the
time.
No,
we weren't.
Just didn't work out.
No. Colton Wong this year has an OPS. He's in the middle of the pack of Major League second basemen. He's got an OPS of 704. He is probably not what the Cardinals expected him to be offensively when they drafted him and brought him up, but he is the best defensive second baseman in baseball, making $6.5 million this year, making $10.25 next year, and has a club option for 2021 for $12.5. At $6.5 this year, I think the Colton Wong, with that OPS of 707, is probably giving you in a market at second base that is clearly a buyer's market, he's probably giving you, because of his defense, about $6.5 million worth of production.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Colton Wong, just the overall contract, the five-year $25.5 million, I'd give him that again, knowing everything, knowing the ups and downs that he went through. I would do that yet again because there's been a level of consistency out of the position. I think that the thing with Colton we've seen is he's gotten better at better. He's grown, and I will agree with the fact that he's not the hitter that they expected, but we're seeing signs of life here recently. We're seeing him spread the ball around a little bit and not just that big leg kick trying to hit a homer swing. This new swing suits him well.
Yeah, you're not ever going to get great offensive production out of him, and I don't think the Cardinals ever really expected that to happen. So the amount of money he's making and he's got promised to him going through 2021, it really isn't all that much, relatively speaking, if you go back and look at what a lot of guys like him are making, especially because he's getting that exceptional defense. He's giving you the exceptional defense. I am perfectly fine with that.
The thing is, you had so many good second basemen that were on the market over the last couple
LeMahieu
of years.
The LeMahieu one, you're just like, oh,
well, you look at the top 10. LeMahieu, Moustakas, Brandon Lau. He's not making anything with Tampa. Is that one Lau or Low? I think the second baseman is Lau.
I think so.
And then Merrifield, he's got a ridiculously team-friendly contract with KC.
He's doing okay.
Yeah. And then LaStella, who the Angels picked up and is hurt right now. Ozzie Albies, who has a team-friendly contract. Michael Chavis with Boston. Dozier with Washington. Scope and Cesar Hernandez. There are just so many guys that have been flooding the market over the course of the last couple of years. The second baseman just aren't making money.
Yeah, no, you're right. And by the way, as we do this segment, are we trying to look at this in a premise of also looking at it with the trade deadline there of who other teams might be interested in with their current contract.
For example, with that one, with Wong, because pretty much every contender has a second baseman.
Right.
I don't think there is going to be much of a market.
No, even with the extreme glove and the defense, as has been noted in the past, well, in recent history, has been a huge bonus for the Cardinals. And I don't believe this team's not even close to what they are if those guys aren't picking it, if Colton Wong's not on that right side of the infield. But other teams at the trade deadline, you're not acquiring a glove generally in the infield.
The Cardinals would not have given Marp the contract extension that they gave him if they had any thoughts of trading him. They don't have any thoughts of trading him despite the lack of production this year. And now the injury, he's out of the lineup tonight, might muck things up a little bit. But with $18.5 million on the books for 20, 21, and 22, that extension probably precludes the Cardinals from being able to move him anyway.
Yeah, and that's not one I was really a huge fan of. I mean, I guess it was fine because it was a position you felt like, all right, we've got this locked down. We don't have to worry about it for the next few years. But you are talking about somebody who's into his 30s now, 33 at this point, and his September, October last year were not good. They were his September, his end of the year, final month of the season was as bad as April was for him. So I think I would have been a little bit more cautious with this. This is not my favorite extension the Cardinals have given up.
I totally agree with that one. I remember when we got word that the Cardinals were having a press conference and all of us had different ideas, speculating, okay, well, maybe it's a guy like Jack Flaherty that they're trying to do. Maybe, you know, whatever. A lot of different things came around. I don't think one of us said, oh, Matt Carpenter extension. And it was because you already had him. You had him for another year. You had the club option that you were going to be able to flex and exercise for next year. And they jumped a little bit, presumably too early. Now, if he goes on another tear, we'll all be like, totally. We knew that was going to be just fine. But right now, on the surface, that does look like one that hinders you in a position where there might not be a ton of guys available right now. But usually that's a position where you can find some power. It's also a position where you have some prospects. And if they end up being on a move in the next couple of years, you'll have a decision to make.
We mentioned Fowler earlier. He's giving the Cardinals this year what they're paying him for. They couldn't have asked for more than his career numbers, and he's giving them his career numbers. Paul DeJong is only making $1.5 million this year. And by the way, Fowler has a blanket no trade. Paul DeJong is signed through 2023. He needs to be better, but once again, for $1.5 million this year, what do you expect? But he needs to be a better offensive player than what the Cardinals have gotten out of him since the end of April.
Yeah, really good April, but it is come back to earth. Defensively, he's been great, and I still believe that that's important, especially at the shortstop position, to continue to grow there. He's done that, but more consistently with the bat. But if we're going to look at this under the premise of, would you do this deal again? Absolutely.
I
would absolutely give him that deal again. I love consistency. I love continuity, and I certainly love it up the middle. And to be able to have Colton Wong and Paul DeJong under contract, to me, that's big.
From a value standpoint, if we're just looking at it from that perspective, he is giving them value for what they are paying him. So I don't have any problems with that deal. He's playing a premium position, and he plays it pretty well. You just have to have more production out of him. And that's the other way to look at it. He is your starting shortstop. He was named an all-star this year. I expect him to produce like an all-star.
And then finally, Michael Wacha, who's in the last year of a contract. He'll be a free agent after this year and certainly is not giving the Cardinals the production that they hoped they would get out of him. I figured that he would come back and start 30 games this year, and that's not going to happen. But I'm really disappointed because this is a guy that when he came up, before the shoulder injury, had great command, and that command is not there anymore.
No, it's not, and he's always had unorthodox mechanics, so you knew that if he got off a little bit mechanically, it might be hard to get him back on there. The great thing for Michael Wacha this year is the health. I mean, that's the one thing, and I look at Michael Wacha right now, and I'm sure a lot of clubs do, as maybe if we get him over here. Maybe if we get him over here, he can give us a little something at the back end of a rotation and make a push. Wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being a guy that gets moved at the trade deadline for, you know, a mid-level prospect or something like that. And I say it twofold. One, because you would be getting something for an asset that's going to be going out the door anyhow, likely in free agency. And the other one is you need to probably open up a spot for another trade that might end up happening, whether it be a bolstering the bullpen or adding another starter.
Right.
There, you got too many bodies right now. So I could see that one being on the move.
He's 28 years old. I would have never thought that Charlie Morton would become more than a serviceable starter at the major league level. He's been great.
He's legit.
And that's a guy that the Astros signed. He'd been hurt all the time. Astros signed him, and he turns into a star.
And, you know, another guy that we should throw in here, at least that I think we should address, is the Andrew Miller signing. Mm-hmm. I know he's been better lately. At a rough weekend. What, last weekend? Was it about
this
a week
past
ago?
Weekend.
Two batters, a home run, and a walk.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, that's not great. I don't like the idea of spending a ton of money on the bullpen unless you've got everything else set. And I don't feel like the Cardinals had everything else set going into the season.
I want to put together a list of all the money that all the contracts they've given to lefty relievers over the years, because if you go back to the 90s, it's unbelievable.
Look, I don't mind spending on the bullpen, but for me, I feel like that's the last place that you invest a lot of money. Invest it elsewhere first.
Yeah, and the thing about them is they've never hit on one as a free agent.
Right.
They got great work out of trades with King and Klein, but a free agent lefty reliever, it just hasn't happened for them. It's crazy.
If your rotation's good, your lineup is perfectly set, and you got nothing else to do, okay, spend on a reliever.
Coming up in the fast lane, Jordan Binnington has his new deal with the Blues, but Jake Allen is still a guy with a huge role to play. Carter Hutton, Allen's former backup and the Blues' former starter, will join us to talk about that and the importance of a two-goalie approach for the Blues next on 101 ESPN. That is the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, on your home of the Blues, 101 ESPN, with Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker, and we head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Former Blues goalie, now Buffalo Sabres goalie, Carter Hutton, kind enough to join us to talk some goaltending. Hope your summer is going well. How are you?
Yeah, it's going great, actually. I was just down at local area here seeing the cup. Brought my little guy to see the cup. Bertuzzo has it today, so it was cool to showed the little guy the big mug, and then I got to be jealous of Bertuzzo for a while.
Very nice.
That is really cool. But before we get into the goalie stuff, I kind of want to talk about that. The Blues winning the Stanley Cup. Obviously, you wore the blue note for a couple of years, but wore it well, had some great moments. But you also know where the Blues were at the beginning of the season, and I know that you have your job day-to-day. You're worried about you. You're worried about the Sabres. But seeing the Blues go on that magical run and throughout the postseason, what feelings did you have for them?
Yeah, it was amazing. Honestly, it's a weird. Eh? People always ask me if I was, you know, jealous because I left and, you know, the way it went down, and not at all. Like, I was so excited because, you know, those are just your friends, right? You stop cheering less for teams and you do more the people you know, and I had a lot of good friends there. So it was amazing the run they went on, especially from, you know, I think going into the season they were pegged to be so good, and then to have the start they did, and then to turn it around and to go all the way to win the cup is, you know, it's unbelievable, and it's in the history books now.
Is that the sort of thing that players around the league, and I know you're focused on your own job, your own team, and what you're doing, but you kind of have to have at least a little bit of awareness of what else is going on around the league. Do you think players were paying any attention at all to what the Blues were doing, and that kind of turnaround as historic as it was?
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously, like, during the season, maybe not as much. And then obviously, like, once they, you know, win a few rounds of the playoffs, that's when it kind of really, I think, for everybody starts to, like, think it, like, sink in how far they've come. You know, it's pretty unbelievable. And then to go on to win the cup against, you know, beat a lot of tough opponents on that road. And I think even in the final, probably being an underdog to Boston, I think before that series started, most people would have pegged Boston to be the favorite. And they just kept going out there doing the same thing. They just would pound every team they played and got big contributions from different guys. And their goalie was great the whole time.
Carter Hutton is with us on 101 ESPN. And that's what I wanted to ask. Did you ever see much of Binnington in training camp here? And could you have ever envisioned what happening?
Yeah, he was there in camp, and not that I could envision. You know, when I was there, Ville Husso was like the next, you know, big guy coming, right? That was always kind of the guy that they were high on. And so I got to know Jordan a little bit, you know, just skating with him in camp. And I think he got called up maybe a couple times. Just they would flip-flop him, Husso. So I didn't really know, like, a ton about him, but he was a good kid, and he worked hard. And the one thing I did notice about him is he always would, like, you know, chat with me when he was there, just kind of picking my brain on things that I did. And, you know, he seemed like he was really buying into, you know, trying to work on his craft. And honestly, from the outside looking in, for me, it wasn't a talent thing. I think his mental demeanor is something that's, you know, it was unbelievable to watch during this whole run. And, you know, he had ice water in his veins. It was pretty cool to see.
And Carter, kind of like you, in a really good, positive way, Jordan has a chip on his shoulder about people not believing that he could be the guy.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good thing, in my opinion. You know, you have to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, how the heck are you going to get it done, right? So I think that's something that, you know, for him as a younger guy to have that all figured out now is pretty impressive. And I think the same success I had when I was with the Blues at a time where, you know, Jake was obviously trying to find his game, I kind of went in and just kind of calmed the storm. It wasn't necessarily what I did. It was just not giving up that bad goal or just being, you know, a timely save here or there. And I think it just changed the whole demeanor of the team. So from the outside looking in, you know, they're in last place and Binnington comes up. And I think that's what he did. Not to take away from his run, there was nights where he just needed to make his, you know, one or two big saves in a 20-shot game. And then the odd night when you get peppered, he was, you know, he was there. So he did his job. And it was those bounce-back games and the times where he didn't give up, you know, a soft goal that kept, you know, I think the Blues bench and everybody's mind in it.
Carter, when you look at on paper, it looks great. I mean, you have both of your goalies signed. They're under contract for the foreseeable future. Jordan Binnington gets his two-year deals. He's got his financial flexibility. You have Jake Allen there, too. So on paper, it looks good. But I would just think from a human element, and you live this, both guys want to be the guy. Like, you always want to push. So how do you handle that relationship? What is it like, the back and forth?
Well, you know, one of the best parts about it, too, is they've both been paid now, right? So they're both making their money. They're both set up. And now it's just a matter of pushing to get minutes, right? So the better guy, whoever's playing better at the time, is going to play. And I think you look at Jake. I thought Jake, as the season went on and Binnington was playing more, Jake had played better as well. So maybe it's one of those things that maybe a little bit of a lighter load is going to help Jake and they can have that push. Because Jake is still one heck of a goalie, I'll tell you that. I've been with him. I've become good friends with him. And I know he's taken his bumps and bruises along the way in St. Louis. But sometimes when you grow up in a system as like a younger guy, you develop under everyone's watchful eye, right? Like, where for me, I was a little older and I bounced from team to team. So no one ever, like, St. Louis has a love for my game when I was there. But they weren't there when I went through my bumps and bruises. Jake's has taken all of his in the limelight. So I think this is going to be a great situation, and I honestly think they're both going to thrive, right? Like, Jordan's going to want to play, but if he does have any times where he struggles, you know, Jake's going to be there, and I think Jake can carry the load as well.
How do players handle that in the NHL when you're not getting a favorable reaction from the fan base? Because I know sometimes you'll talk to players and they say they can't really hear the crowd. They don't, you know, because they're so focused on what's happening. But when the reaction is negative, is it sometimes noticeable, and does it affect you?
Yeah, I think sometimes, maybe when I was a little younger in my career, I would, you know, maybe you looked at Twitter a little too much or Instagram, like, especially with social media, right? Everything's right in your face. And I think as you get a little more mature, you understand what matters and what doesn't, right? You know, you can work on your game and do what you need to do. And the powers that be, if you're not doing your job, someone's gonna let you know. So, but I think the best thing you can do is just not get caught up in it. For me, I've always had, I think my personality, when I do interviews or do anything, I just try to be myself. And I think a lot of times that shines through with fans and you kind of win them over in that sense, right? Of course, the hockey is the number one thing. But when you can show a little bit of personality, and, you know, the typical hockey interview is just so plain and it's just everyone repeats the same stuff. So I think it's refreshing to see guys kind of really show themselves and give people, you know, the human side of us.
Hey, maybe the line of the year here was when Jordan Binnington said, "Look at my face. Do I look nervous?" We love that. Hey, Carter,
yeah,
you're
great stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Your little guy was born right here in St. Louis, right?
He was. Yeah, he's a St. Louis baby. So we had him out in Chesterfield, and so we'll always be tied to St. Louis.
I want to know, for you, when did you get to that point where you were comfortable being yourself and showing a little bit more personality? Because sometimes that's hard. You feel like you're always just trying to not step on anybody's toes. You kind of want to be seen but not heard. Like, when were you able to come out of your shell and be that guy?
I think it was in my second year in Nashville when I really kind of just started to get a little more, like, knew I belonged in the league. I think early you're just, like, kind of starstruck, right? It's like anything. You've dreamed and worked so hard to try to get there, and then you're there and you're, like, just trying to fit in and not mess it up and not be too cocky or not too, And I look at Jordan and I'm like, I wish I would have had a little more of that swagger when I was younger, right? But I just didn't have it. I couldn't fake it. It just wasn't me. And where he, you know, he's obviously done a great job of, you know, having that element to it. So I think for me, it was my second, maybe third year in Nashville. I just really knew I was a good goalie. I knew I could be good. So I almost instilled that confidence in me every day going to the rink. I knew I was the man and I could play well. And even if days you weren't feeling great, you just convince yourself that you were the best goalie that had ever stepped on the rink, right? So you have to have that confidence in yourself. And I think that's something you can create on your own. But at the same time, I developed it by like putting the work in, and I knew that I was prepared whenever I got to the rink.
We have seen plenty of evidence of the Bills Mafia, and they are insane people. What's the Sabres crowd like?
Oh, our crowd's amazing too. We similar to St. Louis, you know, like, you know, gets behind the team. But if we're having a bad effort, they're not shy about letting us know. And it's, you know, a little more blue collar, but it's something that I really enjoy, right? Because it keeps you honest, right? Like I always joke around with during free agency there, like talking to some teams that don't really bring in a big crowd, and I didn't know if that would affect my game. Like no one really cares if you win or lose. Where playing for the Blues in Buffalo, it's, you know, you're held accountable, and that's something that I really enjoy, and it keeps us driving to, you know, try to be better.
Hey, Carter Hutton, one more thing before we let you go. I got a lot of grief in the spring during the playoff run. They brought the Stanley Cup here into the studio, and I touched it and I kissed it, and people hated me for it. They thought it was bad juju. You took your son to visit with the cup with Rob Bortuzzo. Did you touch the cup?
Today I didn't. No, I was, we put our little guy inside it. But I didn't touch it, but I was with the Hawks in 2013 when they won it. So I was a third goalie and, I was a black ace or whatever. And Taves gave me the cup then. So I've already touched it.
Yeah.
So
you're good then. Yeah.
I have a cup and I got a cup ring. But I wasn't there to touch it today. I just wanted to get a picture with my little guy with it. And me and Bertuzzo, when I was playing in St. Louis, we trained together too in the summer. So we spend about 300 days a year together. So it was a pretty cool moment to get to see him with it. We're going to a party tonight, my wife and I. So tonight will be a little more candid and a little more fun.
How often do you wear that ring?
I never wear it, actually. I don't think I won the cup, that's for sure. I'm trying to get one on my own.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. We always enjoy having you on the show. Thanks so much for the time today, and enjoy the rest of the summer and the party tonight.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, Carter, take care. That is former Blues goalie Carter Hutton with us on 101 ESPN. I've forgotten that he got a chance to hoist the cup with Chicago. He can do whatever he wants.
I think he only played like one game for them.
Yeah, but Taves gave it to him.
He's got a ring.
Yeah. That counts.
I wear it.
My book.
Unless it's too
big
to wear.
Wins a win.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's too big. I was fatter when I played.
Well, no, I mean like inside, just too gaudy, like too heavy.
They're all gaudy and heavy.
Some rings are wearable. I've seen some that are kind of wearable, but then there are some that are just...
The Marlins ring. Have you ever seen the Marlins
huge,
ring?
Right?
It's crazy.
Yeah. And I think Boston's first one is really big.
The Rams Super Bowl ring, Georgia had hers fit for two fingers.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was gaudy. Next up in the Fast Lane, SEC Media Days are underway, and Commissioner Greg Sankey spoke about Mizzou and the penalties they're facing with the NCAA. That's next in your Hot Topics on 101 ESPN. Want to hear from you later on in the show with the Mic Drop feature, the 101 ESPN app. We talked yesterday about the people getting ready to storm Area 51, and we want to hear from you as to whether or not you believe in aliens. Why do you think they're real? What do you think they would look like? And what do you think is hidden in Area 51?
And do you think they're living amongst us?
Yeah, are they here?
Yeah, oh,
they're
here.
There's got to be somebody that you suspect is an alien.
No doubt about it.
I'd like to know who that is.
I saw in a documentary that a lot of cab drivers are aliens.
That was...
I think I saw that.
Guys, that wasn't a documentary.
No, it was.
Was Will Smith in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Men in Black.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm not talking about Will Smith, the reliever.
No, this is a group of people that are...
Was Tommy Lee Jones in it?
No, I didn't see.
It was Agent Q?
Was it an older gentleman?
No.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was Tommy Lee Jones.
It was not Tommy Lee Jones.
Anyways, I was very interested in this.
It was Deputy Marshal Samuel Girard.
Yeah,
he was in it.
Do you guys ever go down rabbit holes of watching stuff about aliens and listening to stuff about aliens?
Yeah.
I just recently listened to a podcast for 3 hours about Area 51 and aliens.
3 hours?
Yeah. It's a long podcast. I drive a lot.
They still have the bodies, right?
Yeah, well, I think so.
From Roswell?
They definitely have ships, for sure.
Oh yeah, there's no
question.
They've
got them UFOs up in there. Yeah. They don't call them UFOs anymore. I forget what they call them, but they got them. Cards want to see them aliens.
Yeah. Cards and Pirates tonight at the ballpark. Matt Carpenter not in the lineup. Tommy Edman is at third and leading off. Jack Flaherty goes against Dario Agrazel, and it's a 7:15 game at Busch Stadium. And the Cardinals, by the way, at the moment, if the season ended right now, would be a playoff team. They own the second wild card.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So here's the way
I think
about it.
And they're ahead of Milwaukee in the standings.
We know that the Cardinals have been fortunate with the struggles of the Central overall as a whole.
In its entirety.
In its entirety, okay? We know that. We understand that, not glossing over that fact. But if you can be right here in a playoff spot in contention and some of your best players haven't done best player things yet, I feel like that's okay. Like, that is, it's not ideal. You would love to be where the Dodgers are right now, just running away with everything. That would be great. You're not that fortunate. But you're not the Marlins. You ain't the Giants. Actually, the Giants are only a couple games back of the wild card. But you're not these teams that are in the basement of a division looking up. You are there. You need more out of guys, but it could be worse.
And you heard it here first. The Dodgers are the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I said it, a week or two ago when we were talking about it, that they've got the makings of a team that's going to run the table, get to the playoffs, and get swept.
The SEC Media Day is underway down in Hoover, Alabama, and SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey spoke today and talked about the sanctions that the NCAA has levied against the University of Missouri and what could happen if the NCAA doesn't turn over their ruling.
I don't want to speculate, so there's a hypothetical there. I think all of these issues are reminders of the need to be overly attentive from a compliance standpoint. I am concerned about what I perceive as a rigid application of a penalty matrix, but the NCAA Board of Directors said, here's the prescribed penalties for activities. It suggests that we may not be in the right place with that penalty structure. Yet the message has been to avoid these problems, and we're going to work to continue to avoid these types of problems in the league.
Well, there wouldn't be a problem if Mizzou would have just lied.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Worked for North Carolina.
And the NCAA said, then they would be better off if they would not have cooperated with us.
It doesn't really seem like a great system in place to reward lying.
You're giving every university absolutely no reason to comply with you. Or to at least be upfront.
Oh, yeah.
There's no reason.
I'm not telling you the truth.
Yeah.
Why would I tell you the truth?
The NCAA is an absolute joke.
The Big 12, meanwhile, is pushing for sportsmanship. The Big 12 coordinator of football officials, Greg Burke, says if a player quickly flashes the horns down sign after scoring a touchdown, he likely would not be called for a penalty. Prolonged displays of the signal, the hook 'em horn sign, would be penalized. But if you do it quick, you're good.
Here's the second stupidest thing I've heard in the last few minutes. So you can't do the horns down. Well, you can do it really quick, like just a little, but not for a long time. Why are we protecting the horns down? What is that? Is that another hand symbol that I don't know about? Is that a really bad thing?
No.
No, it's just taunting.
Taunting?
We can't taunt each other.
You don't want to taunt Tom Herman. He would never do that.
Yeah, no, never. He would never do anything like that.
I totally think he would do those things.
I think he would
secure the bag is what he would do.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know. We're just protecting one of the biggest entities out there. That's what we're trying to do. We can't do horns down. Horns up makes all the money.
There's a lot of insanity in college sports. So when we asked earlier people to tell us who they think might be aliens, there have to be a lot in like the NCAA organization,
of
the conferences.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got to be a lot of aliens running those.
A report with training camp on the horizon in a week that St. Louis and Ezekiel Elliott, the running back for the Dallas Cowboys, will hold out of camp unless he gets a new contract.
Yeah, now Zeke's done everything off the field that I would trust him with more money. So that's good.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't either. Just show up. Just do your job. Just show up, do your job, do good things.
Prove yourself.
Yeah, stay out of the negative news and you will get paid. They would love to pay you money. He's one of the best backs in the league. He's awesome. Go do your job. Don't do this. But whatever. It's his money. It's his life. It's his career. He's already done more with it than I've done. So, whatever you want. But stay out of the damn newspapers. Stay out of the negative headlines. Make some good decisions. And even if you're not doing anything quote-unquote wrong, you might want to check the people that you're hanging out with, and you might want to check the places that you're hanging out.
Or just don't be an a-hole.
Yeah.
It helps too.
Because he kind of acts like one.
Sometimes you need to be punished. Sometimes a suspension is in order. Like the WNBA. They have suspended the Los Angeles Sparks' Requanna Williams for 10 games as a result of a domestic violence incident involving her ex-girlfriend in December. In April, Williams was arrested on felony charges of burglary with assault or battery and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill, stemming from the December incident.
I have a question.
Yes.
How do you enter with a deadly weapon but don't have intent to kill?
That is a mystery.
Well, 65780.
I mean, you have to protect yourself when you're breaking into somebody else's place.
Just in case they're armed.
Yeah,
just, you never know
you have
what
it
somebody's,
on you.
Else's house is going to be
they
like.
They might come after me.
Yeah. Okay.
You got to be very
careful. I
guess
that could end up being a thing. Well, at least it's every league better have rules in place. I mean, there's something's always going to pop up. It sounds like more than 10 games.
Yeah.
Probably. It should be more than 10 games.
Please say that Williams struck ex-girlfriend Alkyria Davis in the head and pulled her hair after she opened the front door of her house on December 6th. After a man at the home broke up the altercation, Williams went to her car and pulled out a gun, pointed it in the man's direction, and said, "You'll get all 18, I guess, of the bullets before
yeah.
leaving the scene.
Well,
okay.
So that
stupid
changes
question.
The betting odds on the Liberty, by the way.
No, it does. I have a stupid question.
Mm-hmm.
How many games are in a WNBA season?
I'm guessing 40, maybe 32.
I don't know the answer to that.
Gosh darn it. I'm just trying to see percentage-wise
like how many games that is.
Because that seems like a lot of stuff that she did and should be in big-time trouble, yet I can't find a clear answer.
I will find a clear answer for you here as soon as my computer speeds up a little bit. 34.
Oh, well, then
that's a lot.
10 games is a lot.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds better.
So now you know via radio.
But still don't do stuff like that.
No.
Why can't we all just be a little bit smarter? I know emotions are crazy.
Can't we all just get along?
We should be able to. You know what we should do as a collective group? Hmm. We should just breathe sometime.
Smell the flowers. Blow out the candles.
I mean, I feel great. You're in your car. Give a little of that. You're good to go, especially if you're in traffic. And some idiots in the fast lane going slow.
I agree with that. However, what if you're just really mad, but you also happen to have a weapon on you?
Hold your
breath. Are you supposed to do?
Hold your breath and say, "You're going to get all 18.
Yeah, I guess sometimes you got to cap somebody.
I don't think I'm ever going to tell somebody you're going to get all 18.
That's because you only have a 12 shooter.
Bingo.
Those are your hot topics of the day on 101 ESPN. Hey, we've got a new fighter coming your way in the 4 o'clock fight next on 101 ESPN.
Imagine a world where animals and humans coexist in harmony, where wild animals thrive, habitats are protected, and marginalized communities are empowered. At International Animal Rescue, this is our vision. Our holistic, community-led projects not only rescue animals, but also protect and replenish precious habitats, creating a better future for us all. But we can't do this without you. Show your support now and help keep the wild, wild. Visit internationalanimalrescue.org.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.